It's a very powerful information. Since the tree of life has been propagated, or since there are lectures about this out, many devotees have gotten in contact with me and told them how this concept for, let me say, a holistic spiritual life has helped them in their own lives. The tree of life is part of something I have been working since more than 15 years now. It is called a great presentation, or a large presentation of our philosophy, with the emphasis on practical experience rather than theoretical appreciation. And it's called the Vedic Vedas, life school you could call it. And this tree of life is just a little part of it, a teaser. When I came here, Aditi Narayan asked me, Maharaj, how long does a tree of life seminar usually takes? And I told him, well, I can give it in 3 days, like I did just recently to 60 teachers of a school system. But really, to really feel the whole benefit of this concept, you need to practice it a whole life. And this is what I would like to really say at the very beginning of my presentation. This will be a different presentation than most of us who are listening to lectures in the Hare Krishna movement are accustomed to. Because maybe it's not different, but I will say at the outset, you will only be able to grasp it if you apply it in your life. It's almost like for a hungry man, he will only understand what food means when he takes it. Or for a woman, she will only understand what a child means, or to have a child, when she has her own child. Or, for that matter, the ecstasy of bhakti. We hear a lot about it, but really to fathom it, to grasp it, is only possible for someone who experiences bhakti. So, I will try to give you a little experience this evening by inviting you to meditate, and I will give you also a little homework to do between today and tomorrow, when we have the second part of the Tree of Life seminar. And I request you to enter this presentation with an open mind, with a curious mind, in a way like a hungry man wants to understand food. He eats it. He has to apply it. I will also ask you to meditate, and during this time it will not be possible for the young ones, the small babies who are not yet able to understand words and meditate. I will have to insist that you will, those mothers and fathers will do what I call in my seminars responsible parenting. That means that they will forsake their own interest or let me say, happiness, in the interest of their child, and will take the child when it gets restless outside and do some good child appropriate activities. So I will be very insistent on this, and I request you to take the children on my first notice, so that you don't have to get to know the Germanness of such an adult. Good. So my dear devotees, at the outset I want to reveal to you a little bit how this revolutionary shift in consciousness, which eventually led to my own discovery of this concept, came about in my life. It was in the year 2007, and I had just been released from the hospital after a leg surgery. It's still the original leg, it's not an artificial leg, but something inside the leg had to be repaired. Then I almost lost my life. I had been released, but I had caught what is called a sepsis, an infection which spreads through the whole body. And if Gaurahari, who is today with me, would not have been there and taken the initiative to drive me back to the hospital, I would have not survived. It was a very sepsis is something which comes in hospitals. It's difficult to really say the origin. It's not always clear if it is happening from inside the patient of the hospital, from inside the body of the patient, or if it comes about by some infection which is there on the surgical instruments. But it is said, let me say, 1 out of 4 people who contract this type of sepsis which I had will die. So he drove me back by Krishna's mercy. I didn't want to see the hospital again. I thought they had inflicted this pain to me. But he brought me back, and I fainted a few times in the car. Then I was treated by strong doses of antibiotics, which are intravenously brought to you. But it was a fight for life or death. One night, I remember, the doctor said he had tears in his eyes because we had some good discussions, personal discussions, and he wanted me to live. And he said, well, we have done everything modern medicine can do for you. I just need to let you know this night will decide whether you live or whether you die, because your body either can overcome the influence of the disease or the disease overcomes you. It's a crisis in medical term. So I remember throughout this night, a never-ending night, my body full of tubes, and I myself a few times just before entering the tunnel of no return, you know, when you feel the urge shrinks into a tunnel and comes through. Remember, it was a very, very terrible night, never-ending night. Only in the morning when I saw the sun was rising, I became very grateful to Krishna that he has given me a second chance. But the body was wasted still from that fight, and I retired to the Bosnian mountains, but in the mountains there in Bosnia, where there's fresh water, fresh air, and I needed 6 months to recover. In the morning when the doctor said, met me, he said, "My dear monk, you have survived the night, but between you and me, if you don't start to now care for your body, you will not live very long. Because I've never seen someone who has been physically as exhausted as you. And I really didn't think you would pull throughout the night. So you need to change something in your life." 6 months I was in this mountain, and it was very difficult to come back to the normal life, to normal functioning of my organs, normal functioning of the mind. But one morning, I saw before my window a tree, and I saw that morning for the first time. It was a very strong tree with strong roots, and what I noticed, the tree had a big crown, and each night before the light went out in my room, I would go before the window, and before that tree there were many animals who took shelter under the tree. There were wild horses, cows. One time I saw a few snakes there under the tree, deer. Everyone was under the tree, and I used to say, because every night I slept with a whole zoo before my door. I remember before I switched off my light, I went to the windows and said, "Hurry, bowl, everyone. Better find your sleeping position. I'm switching off the light now, and you won't be able to see anything any longer. Move quickly." Yes, this was the tree. One morning, as I said, I had still a few needles in my veins. I just saw the tree, and I said, I felt, "My dear Lord, I wish I could again become as strong and as healthy as this tree. What is his secret? He's so old and so strong, and he gives shelter to so many other living beings who come every night, but also those birds and squirrels who live in it. What's the secret? Maybe I can learn from the tree to live a happy life." And I don't know, you have these moments of clarity in Krishna consciousness I felt the answer was coming back. This tree is in contact with nature. You have broken your contact to nature. You don't live a natural life any longer. And I also began to reflect that the tree, in order to be so strong, has four areas which it equally takes care of. Strong roots, a trunk with a good bark, a protective bark. You understand this English? You understand better English than me, but do you understand bark, what I mean with bark?
Yes.
Bark, and it has a very strong crown with which it gives shade. And this was not a fruit tree, but the tree is a fruit tree. Fruits and branches to others. And then I did remember that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had said, if a human being wishes to be strong, it means it has to take care of its spiritual dimension, it has to take care of its physical well-being, and has to have an emotional well-being, and it also needs a social well-being. Four areas. And it came upon me as I stood before the tree that just like the tree needs four areas, roots, tree trunk, including the bark, and the crown, we as human beings need to take care of the four areas of our life, the four gifts of the human life. Our spiritual roots, our physical well-being, our emotional well-being, and our social well-being. Now most probably, my audience at this moment splits into two halves. One is, this is all, this is very simple. And the other half is, where is this involvement, folks? So, I will need to address the two questions. Let me start with the second, which I think is very, it needs to be answered before we can move forward, because we like to see the basis, or we like to have the understanding of Srila Prabhupada. Without the help of the body, Prabhupada says, one cannot follow a system of religion, nor can one even speculate on philosophical perfection. Therefore, the flower and fruit have to be obtained as a result of the body. Without the help of the body, that fruit, he means the fruit of self-realization, cannot be gained. The Vaishnava philosophy therefore recommends yukta vairagya. It is not that all attention should be diverted for the maintenance of the body, but at the same time one's bodily maintenance should not be neglected. And in one very interesting purport in the 8th canto, chapter 1940, he makes it very clear. One who does neglect the body is false in its renunciation. If the body is not properly maintained, It falls down and dries up like an uprooted tree, from which flowers and fruit can no longer be obtained. The idea that where we compare the body with a tree is very ancient. It is found in the Upanishads, where it is said that on the tree of the body, in the nest of the heart, there are two birds living, the self and the supreme self. You have most probably heard this. One bird is the living entity who wants to enjoy the fruits of the body, like a bird who picks at the apples and plums, cherries. And the other, the transcendental bird or the transcendental self, is beyond all this. It's not interested. Very old concept. I think you have heard it, and you remember it very well. And there is. I want to establish in the scriptures and from Prabhupada how there is this tree of life. There's another Bhagavatam verse. The soul has accepted material bodies since time immemorial. These bodies are like trees, sustaining one's life in this world. Just as a tree first blossoms and then produces fruit, similarly the material body produces various results. So you have this tree of life, the body, and the body has various areas which must really be taken care of. Prabhupada speaks about this, and this is my last quote, then I will be over with the quotes. It is not that we should be neglectful of the body. I remember when I came to Krishna consciousness, I understood I'm not the body. This was the revolutionary discovery. And I thought, well, then let me walk in the snow barefoot. I don't need to take care of the body. This, of course, is a very childlike understanding. But I think many, many devotees have understood the body to be Maya. Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you. You're very kind. Let me see how to do this. If you come close enough, my hands up. Yeah, oh, you are the real one. To understand that we are not the body does not mean to neglect it. It means to use it properly. Just like to understand we are not the car doesn't mean we put fire on the car or we drive irresponsibly with it. It means we use it properly. And Prabhupada spoke about this. He said, it's not that we should be neglectful of the body like I was. For example, we require fruits and flowers. If we neglect the tree or cut it, it will dry up and there will be no fruits and flowers. The fruits and flowers of this human body are the fruit of self-realization. So when you can have this, when you can take care of your body and your mind and others in your life in the proper way, there will be fruits and flowers of self-realization. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says to us that someone who does not take care of these four dimensions of the tree of life. He will become an atheist and doubtful, and his human form of life will not reach success. I have seen this in our movement very often, that devotees who don't take care of their lives in the proper way and are not properly situated, they develop doubts in the philosophy and strange behavior. I just talked to one devotee, the Mataji, who thought men are Maya, which is a fact, and so are women. We are only souls, but who was with that, only with that outlook. And she is now old and suffers so much because not feeling, she feels she has not, she has just been too fanatical and has not taken care of her needs as a woman to feel she has someone. That now she, although she is very, very decorated with many titles and many achievements in our movement, is very, very skeptical and very frustrated. I've seen also many men who in their old age became very sick, so that their mind is not properly working any longer. They are very, let me say, not strong also mentally. It is very difficult for them to do sadhana and to absorb their mind in chanting, because the body has become a source of constant pain due to neglect and overuse. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's words that if you don't take care of the four areas of your human life, you will become an atheist, are fear-inspiring. And I have seen many, many indications of this in our movement, where devotees have sometimes understood this simple statement, you are not the body and the mind. They have misunderstood. It only means you have to not indulge in them. You have to know how to use them, so that you get the fruit of your self-realization. I have been criticized, and I will be criticized much more in the future by some sections of our society who will say, oh, Sachinanda Swami has become a materialist. He tells us we must take care of the body and the mind. And these have not, these devotees have not listened sufficiently. It's not that we therefore are the body, that the Tree of Life concept says we are the body and the mind. No, this is a gift of God which can be used or misused or abused. And if you misuse it or abuse it, it will create an obstacle in your spiritual life. But if you use it in the proper life and the proper way, it will help you in your spiritual life. There is a letter of Srila Prabhupada which used to, I mean, I used to be really shocked when I read this letter. Prabhupada wrote to one devotee, he said, to take care of your health is your first responsibility. To take care of your sadhana is your second responsibility, and to take care of your service is your third responsibility. And I thought, what has happened with my ever-well-wisher? I didn't think, I'm just saying it. like this, but I could not understand because I had this wrong understanding where I would think of my health and of my body and of my mind the way the New Age people think of it. They think you are the body and the mind, and therefore you need to take care of it. In devotee spiritual circles, we think we are not the body of the mind. We must take care of it from the position of the soul. You understand? The position. It's all a question of position. When you position, yourself as being the body and the mind, then you will take care of it improperly. It's almost like you position yourself as being the car. you need to drive to the lunatic asylum. But if you position yourself as separate from the car, you will use the car in your way, in your journey to wherever it is you go. I want to ask you some questions. How can you be ever satisfied in your life if you ignore your nature that you are a spirit soul and a parcel of Krishna? My second question is, how can you live properly if you neglect your body? My third question, how can you be a natural, inspired person if you are emotionally starved? My fourth question is, how can you even start to consider yourself a human being if your vision only comes to your own interests? Isn't that what the animals do? You must learn to think of the benefit of others. And for that you must have capacities that you are so well taken care of, that you are so together inside of you, that you want to share with others, you want to take care of them in an emphatic way. Emphatic means knowing what they need. These are four areas of life which all must be taken care of: the roots, the soul, the body, the mind, and your social life, your relationship to others. Prabhupada has often encouraged us to think of the benefit of others, social dimension. You know? What have you done? I want to ask you today in this astronautic temple building, this very nice dome-like shape. What have you done today for the benefit of others? Have you done anything today to take care of others? Or have you been like so many misguided spiritualists who think, I only take care of myself. I only take care of my roots. My second question is, have you done something today as your to take care of your body, except for eating? Something which gives you an increase in health so that you can do longer service and more bright. Have you done something to take care that you have positive emotions and can see good in others? If not, then you will be very benefited to learn a little bit more about the tree of life. That unique tree which has been given to every one of us as an endowment by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the scriptures we find the shloka that right now I can say it in English. The human form of life is like a boat which can take us over the ocean of birth and death. Have you thought about this? To go today over the ocean of birth and death. When I met my gracious host, I asked him, how successful are you in your victory over birth and death? And he looked at me and said, whoa, this is a big question. I'm trying, Maharaj, I'm trying. He is a very spiritual host. Have you tried to go today with your vehicle over the ocean of birth and death? Now, my dear devotees, the Tree of Life model, now it gets a little complicated. Some of you are thinkers, so you can think now very carefully. Means really that you, now listen to this, it gets a little complicated, you will have to think now. There are four areas of human life. Do you remember what they are? Yes. Spiritual. Physical. Yes. So you must bring balance into these four areas. And now listen to this. You must balance the four areas with each other. Let me give you an example. If there is a tree which only has good roots, but no good trunk, and no good crown, it will not work. It's a delicate balance between the four areas. Sometimes the root area will need more care. Another time, the trunk area will need more care. Another time, the crown area of the Tree of Life will need more of your attention. It's not that you just bring one area in balance. You need to bring the whole holistic model into balance in order to experience the power of the Tree of Life. Have you understood this? I have often seen people who are, this is what I see most, who are very good in one area, social area, counselors. Now if you meet the counselor in his private time, you will find out that in his own emotional well-being, he is a wreck. Or I have met many spiritualists amongst our group also, who are very strong spiritual. Oh my God, have they lousy relationships with everyone else. They mostly criticize people who are not as good as them in certain spiritual areas. Their spiritual area is quite developed, but not the other. The social area, or let me say, taking care of others in the spirit of compassion. They have not learned to balance the individual areas and have them all properly taken care of. I've more than often... this is dramatic. I've more than often met people who are physically very developed, like strong, like gorillas, but spiritually so starved and underdeveloped that it's a scandal. The idea is all four areas need to be taken care of. And it needs to be balanced. And now comes the first principle. It's not so easy to keep balance in this material nature. In order to introduce balance, you have to introduce what? Sattvic life, the mode of goodness. When I was a child, I was very interested in circus, and every circus we was in, near our town, I had to visit. And now once, I remember, there was, I think in Hamburg, we had a real good circus, and there was a tight rope artist. Do you know what a tight rope artist is? They perform under the dome of the circus tent, and they will drive with a bicycle over the tight rope. Sometimes they will take a chair and somehow balance the chair on the rope and then balance on top of the chair. And this particular high rope artist whom I saw when my mother took me there for birthday was so talented. He did a salto on the high rope. He landed on the high rope, and I was so enthused and so much, let me say, grateful for his performance. When he was finished, I ran through the circus. I mean, the managerie, there were no titles at that time. And I congratulated him when he came down from the high rope and said, "My God, was your balance good? How did you do it?" And he said, "I was never in balance." Balance is a very difficult state. But for this I have my pole. And whenever I was a little bit too much to the left, I put the pole a little bit more to the right. And I was a little bit more out of balance in the other side, I balanced it with this way. Balance, he said, is a dynamic state. It's not a static state. To translate this, to live the tree of life means you have to learn the art of balancing it. And it will require both individual maturity and a deep understanding of the principles behind it so that you are successful. It's easy to concentrate on one thing. It's a little bit more difficult to concentrate on two things. But it is difficult to keep four things in balance. The four areas of the four human endowments. And therefore, the tree of life is something for people who really want to learn a way of life. I want to give you an example. Today I came from an international flight, and I came to Aditi Narayan's house, and all my cells wanted to eat the Ratna Radhika Prasadam. But I knew if I don't now do some other physical maintenance, that I will have a very bad digestion. I need to now do a little yoga to keep the body, to get the bloodstream going again, so that I will not fall asleep when I give the lecture this evening. No? So I know that at the moment my physical department needs a little bit more attention before. It's normal that the Sadhu Sangha program, where there's so much service to be done. So I need to prepare this side, the physical side, so that my spiritual service can go on without rest, without any obstacle, and I can serve the Vaishnavas in the best way. I will also no need to be very careful, because in Sadhu Sangha so many people want to see me, who have waited for me to get a visa for America. So there is a very strong need to take care of, to meet many people and give them a few minutes. And I need to be keep this in mind. My God, this needs to be balanced very much. And so on and so forth. I think you do understand what I mean with balancing each area and balancing them all together. Now the idea is not so difficult, and you will make this as an exit. I will invite you in a moment to meditate. You need to bring something into your life which is sattvic. And when you bring one idea, one sattvic activity, if you introduce it into your life, this sattvic activity will bring other sattvic things or things of balance into your life. It's almost like the reverse example. If I want to increase tamagun, I mean not as devotees, hopefully, but let me see. Give a very understandable example. Let me see. A person starts to drink. He takes one thing, alcohol, and puts it into his life. This alcohol will bring with him a caravan of other tamasic things. He will become forgetful due to the influence of tamagun. He will quarrel with others in a tamasic way. Many, many, many results come from introducing one thing. In the same way, in a positive way, bring one sattvic activity a day into your life, and you will see how that will start to bring other sattvic activities. But you have to start somewhere and act somewhere. It's called the sattvic caravan will come. It's a new concept for you. I will have to introduce it. Caravan means many camels go behind each other. And when one camel, the lead camel, goes to the right, all the other camels follow and will also go to the right. If one camel arrives at the oasis, then all the other camels who come after that lead camel will also by and by arrive in the oasis. So if you learn to introduce one sattvic thing which you are not doing into your life, other things will follow from this, and the difficult treasure of balance will be with you. Now, to prove this to you, I would like to make an experiment in meditation. It will be very Krishna conscious. It will be very nice, and we will do also kirtan. I have to make a few. Before I can start, I need to now request those with small children to take the children away, because let me say it positively, to take them into an area where they can take care totally of the children. We have many Indian devotees with us, and if you see that one of them has not yet understood, please tell them in Hindi, maybe Umesh ji, you can take care of, because it takes sometimes a little bit more time to understand. Are you ready? Sri Ram, you need to be here with the Madanya. As we said at the very beginning, the tree of life will only work for you if you start from the spiritual perspective. If you do the tree of life from the material perspective, that is, if you do not understand the difference between using the body and the mind in a Krishna conscious way, then you might suffer from, let me say, with this tool, you might become more body conscious, except and not become more physically conscious, spiritually conscious. If you do not understand that you are the soul who lives within the body and who uses the body for self-realization, then this will put you on the wrong track. So therefore, in this first session, practical session of the Tree of Life, I wish to help you to understand how you are not the body, but how you are an eternal soul. This, by the way, Prabhus and Matajis, will never be understood by you if you just practice it theoretically. You have to really understand you are not the body. You are a soul by realizing it, by making an experiment. I can only say, I once had a situation where I went through a lot of surgeries in my life, and I had a surgical invasive thing done, and during the surgery I separated from the body. I saw my body down on the operation table, and then I built myself to go into the visitor room to check if the devotee who had said he would pray for me would pray, or if he would sleep. So I remember, I hope you don't just laugh and then forget. I think you remember only the example but not what it stands for. So I built myself I saw myself out of the body and built myself in the room and went through the rooms and the walls of the hospital almost as if I have become a ghost, you know. And I went to the visitor room and could see the devotee and later tell him exactly what he did. I will not say it here because it's a private information which only was meant for the devotee. So then I built myself back into the operation theater and saw myself and saw the body. Have you ever seen your body and see blood gushing out of your body? It's quite scary. But at that time, you know, I'm not the body. So I had this realization, but it went again. Bodily identification is so strong that you again become influenced by the body when it's tired or hungry and you can't detach yourself. But you need to eventually learn to not to really see yourself that this body is like a car. It's different from me. To make proper advancement in spiritual life. Otherwise, it's a theory only, a concept. at best, something in the mind which will be blown away by practical life, which will not stand and protect you in times of need. So I want to give you a little taste. I think that we have at this moment a room which is ready to be peaceful. I want to help you to connect with yourself as a soul. Then I want you to turn in meditation to Krishna and connect with Krishna as your only Lord and Master. And I want to also let you experience how you are able to observe your body and observe your activities from a neutral observer position without being identified. So it's a large thing which we will do. And you are ready to enter this? Oh, you are shocked. Why are you shocked? Because it's new? You will do this?
Yes.
Good. You said yes. So I request you to first look a little bit around in the temple room. I will soon ask you to close your eyes so you will feel more safe and more will be easier for you when you know the room, see the room. See the devotees. We are all in this now together in adventure. Maybe one of you will die, so maybe you want to look at the deity a last time. Joking. You are too serious, not so serious. At one time you are not serious, then you are too serious. Why not in the middle? We will now focus on calming our mind by doing a very simple breathing exercise. Breathe in deeply, and then whenever you breathe out a little bit more than your natural out breath is. Then breathe in. Whenever you breathe out completely, and please a little bit more. Just go deep in your breath. Whenever you breathe out completely, a little bit more. Some of you are still a little bit shy, please. This is very healthy. You will get more oxygen in your body. Breathe in, then breathe out a little bit more. Nice and deep inhales, nice deep exhales, and a little bit more. When you are ready, close your eyes. Focus your attention on the heart area. Imagine there's a bright sun inside your heart. Whenever you inhale, sun expands, becomes bigger, the golden color expands, warmth expands, body expands. Whenever you breathe in, and when you exhale, the sun becomes slightly smaller. On an inhale, it seems to expand. On an exhale, it becomes slightly smaller. Stay with this practice for a while. Please be peaceful. No need to think of so many things. Just when you breathe in, the sun in your heart becomes a little bit bigger, and you breathe out. The sun becomes a little bit smaller. Focus your mind on breathing in and out, and the sun expanding or becoming a little smaller. Now, meditate on a verse from the Gita. Just like the sun, the imaginary sun is in your heart, the real soul is there. That which pervades the entire body, you should know to be indestructible. For the soul, there's neither birth nor death. At any time, he has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. The soul is unborn, eternal, ever existing and primeval. The soul, the you, does not stop when the body is slain. You are that eternal, blissful soul inside the body. Next, we will turn to Krishna in our heart. When you breathe in, see a light expanding within your heart. And when you breathe out, see how the light is distributed throughout the body. It is there in the heart where you live, as a tiny part of the Lord. And it is here, in that heart, where your Lord is. Krishna is the Master Lord of your life. Please meditate on him. His beautiful bluish body is curved in three places. He holds a flute to his lips. He wears yellow garments and wears a garland of forest flowers. He is enchanting into Cupid, the god of love. Become aware, your soul, part of Krishna, and he is your only master. You are in this world only to realize your relationship to him. Try to remain in that inner space created by this meditation, and remain in this inner space as you sing the Hare Krishna Mana Mantra. Sing it from the position of the soul who addresses his only master.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna. Amen.
rest. Tomorrow you will wake up. Take care of your morning activities. Some of you will go to school, others to their jobs. Still others will have a free day. Never forget, while you do these activities, that you are inside the body. You can utilize this body and the activities to bring to you the fruits and flowers of self-realization and the realization of Krishna, Krishna consciousness. All too often we lose the contact with ourself and with the Lord, and then everything is lost. The tree of life is a model which helps us to stay in contact. Just like a tree is based on its root, the tree of life is based on the spiritual understanding of ourselves as being inside the body. Slowly turn back to room awareness, maybe. Look a little around the room. I request you now to turn around to your neighbor. The men will do this amongst men. The ladies, please turn to your ladies, neighbor, because I will request you to share your experience. It's very important that you all take part in it. Remember, this is a practice-oriented seminar, not a theoretical one. Need a little time, please find yourself a neighbor. Who has not found a neighbor as of yet? Everyone. You don't yet know what to do. We are very good at talking, I know. Hare Krishna. Hey. So your task now is share with your neighbor what went on for you in the meditation. Of course, it's nice to be honest and say I was a little tired, but try to go even a little bit deeper than that. This is the first task. I will soon give you a second task, so you need to be quite on the, in American English, on the ball in that one. We say like this, slangy American, not a very high language here. So, what went on in this meditation for you? Start now, please.
Fuck!
What struck you in the Tree of Life module? What did you understand, or what raised your attention? What was useful for you? What struck you? What moved you in some ways? And we will have to be fast, so only 3 minutes for this. But please start now. One more minute.
video recording?
Yes.
What?
Video and audio both.
Both?
Yes.
Your good name from?
My name is Ajay Govind Das. I am in the Sadhu Sangha for the last 4 years and I am recording all Sadhu Sanghas videos. You know, met there last year when you were here, I was previous year also. I missed you last year.
Yeah. I thought I would never get a visa again.
Yeah, yeah, but you were very fortunate to see you on this time.
I got 10 years.
Now?
Oh,
very good.
Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, it's an essential need to feel that spiritual connection with Krishna. Without this connection, our life is the life of a shadow. It lacks substance. We only live the shadow life. It's almost as if we only eat shadows of a meal. We will remain hungry. Imagine I would have come after starving on that flight to Aditi Narayan's house. He would say, "Today, Maharaji, we have cooked only one little pizza, but no problem. We have a light. We shine this light on the pizza and you can eat the shadow as long as you want." I would not have been nourished and I would have gone to the neighbor and knocked at the door. Very hungry. And in my host's house there's only the shadow of a meal, not the real meal. So in spiritual life also we have to see that there is substance, and the substance is the spiritual substance which is based on the understanding I am a soul, I am part of Krishna. So what we did now was very simple. We did something which we already know. We chanted, the new element of this was that we did this from the spiritual perspective. In other words, we did our spiritual practice from the perspective of I'm a soul. And I think you all noted there was a difference, at least in the room I could see and feel that you were much more absorbed and the atmosphere was much different because you did what you did from the right perspective, the spiritual perspective of being as part of Krishna. No? But this was easy. I started with the easiest thing. Now you need to know how to take care from this root perspective, this spiritual perspective of your body, your mind, and your relationships. You will not be able to see what your life was before and what will be afterwards if you practice to do the physical and the emotional and the social part of your life from the spiritual perspective. If you don't do it from the spiritual perspective, it's only a shadow. Then we would not give this class in the temple where spiritual people are. Then we would be materialists. But if we take care of it from the spiritual perspective, a totally new dimensional of will open itself to us. Prabhupada gave one whole lecture on this point of living our lives from the Atma perspective, from the soul's perspective, and putting everything we do in relationship with to Krishna. And he made it very clear. He said, simple theoretical knowledge that I am consciousness, I am not this body, this simple theoretical knowledge cannot help us. Just like a person who has studied medical science or law, or technical science, he gets all theoretical knowledge. But if he does not practice, then all this knowledge will gradually subside, means go away. You see? Simply understanding that I'm not this body, but I'm that pure consciousness, that we have already analyzed in various ways. Now we are in practical life. It means now you have to apply it. So this whole tree of life thing means really to utilize the spiritual life that you have done now. It's very simple. You know this. But now comes the challenge tomorrow. How will I use my physical and my emotional and my social thing from the spiritual perspective and not get lost in it and become either one-sided Hare Krishna member who is only in the roots but who is physically, emotionally and socially really starved, either that, or I become the opposite, which is even more dangerous, just a materialist who has no connection to the spiritual dimension. We have to bring, we have to come into the middle position, that's sattva. We have to balance between this position. And then what this means, it's a very deep thing. It's a very, I'm speaking it in the most simplest of terms to be really straightforward and clear. But how to apply it will be difficult. Will require some practice. So you can already prepare yourself for tomorrow with, I will request you to do a little homework. When you go to bed, think about, do three simple steps. First, I am an eternal soul. Second step, think of Krishna and turn to Krishna with a prayer. You are my only master. And the third is understand, this is how you program yourself in the evening, that when you live tomorrow, your normal life, do that in a way that you remain connected with yourself and with Krishna. The world in which you will be active is only a possibility for you to act on that spiritual platform. That is why it is there. Your relationships, maybe there needs to be something which you do on the spiritual platform to make them more effective, or let us say more compassionate and more kind. Huh? So, is the task clear? I think it's good if I repeat it again. So, your homework will be three steps. What was the first step?
Eternal soul.
Then the second step. Krishna is your only master. Turn to Krishna. Third step. Use your practical life in the world and to stay in this connection. When you work, for instance, understand, I thought it was a baby, so I was going to do parenting, but it's an animal, isn't
it? Frogs.
What?
Frogs.
Frogs, my God! They are awesome in their expression, no? They really have something to share. Don't stop. I'm shocked, you know. I really thought there's some crime going on outside of the temple building, but God, it's only a frog. Now he has become shy. So tomorrow, same time, 6 o'clock, it will be useful tips how you can apply this tree of life in the area of physical, emotional, and social well-being. I really have to think hard how to give you something practical in 1 hour. This is a large subject. As I said, it's part of the life school, and but I think we can do something very valuable tomorrow. Good. Dobro, I would say, for Kukulananda. Kukulananda is here. Kukulanda. Staying here or?
Yeah.
Ah, left, crazy. So let me just, let me now make a little pause of 5 minutes or so, and then we will sing a little bit and do a little kirtan. But I recognize that some of you might have to leave already. So this is a good time to do so. In 5 minutes we will continue with the kirtan. Yes? Oh, yes. Are there questions to this? Hari, I don't say the name. Hari Syam.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Welcome to America. This Tree of Life model, I first listened to your classes on this 3 years ago, and I've been trying to practice it in my life. And the question I've had in all those years is, spiritual life is a constant process of new lessons and self-reflections. And I'm wondering if you can, looking at your own life and looking at the lives of those devotees you guide, it seems, based on my limited experience, that those lessons and realizations come sometimes when you really push yourself and you put yourself out of your comfort zone, and may not come so much from when you have a very balanced body, mind, and emotional state. This is not to say that you should live crazy lives. I'm not recommending that at all. But it's really a mystery to me how I learn the lessons that I need to learn from Krishna's side. And it seems to me, when I look at my own life, that they've really come when I've kind of lost myself in a way, and then I've had to crawl back into the shelter of Guru and Krishna and look for solutions.
So you say, only when I'm really out of balance, then I will learn something new. That may be learning the mode of ignorance, yes. There was once a man who was in my neighborhood who was banging with a hammer on his head. And I remember we asked him, why do you do this? And he said, when I stop, I feel so good. The pain is not there. Do you have to only, can you only learn like this? But what you say does have some relevance. Only when you go new, let us say, new ways in life only appear when you walk them. You have to do something new, something, let me say, what you usually don't do in order to understand something new. That is a fact. Where I live, just before the door, is a forest, and I wish to make a path in this forest so that I can quickly, without having to go around the forest, come to a destination where I can do one part of my work, you know, writing in nature. So I know I have to walk the new path. It will take about a month more, and then there is a path. If I don't walk this new path, I will always have to make the tiresome circumvention, the detour around. I won't go straight to my goal. So, yes, we need progress. In the Bhagavatam is discussed as going towards the aim and overcoming obstacles. That's how we make progress. Going towards the aim and overcoming the obstacles on the way. This means Krishna says one should go directly and indirectly. Directly means we should ask for Krishna about Krishna conscious subject, and indirectly we should concern ourselves how to overcome the obstacle. I would say yes, we all have this experience with you, that we are in a crisis and we have to change something, and we change something, but that is only for those who are very slow in learning. They need a crisis, a health crisis or this crisis. Better is to learn to walk new way by hearing some inspiring knowledge and presentation and then acting upon it. I know that 90% of my audience today is the crisis audience. They will only take care of what I said this evening when they are sick, either physical or emotional. I know this because we attract such people to our movement. But do the statistical research, you know. No problem. This is good for 10%, what I said today. Okay. And the rest will eventually come and find it out. But we are mostly crisis management condition. I'm certainly in this category myself. You know, I'm not here. I'm certainly like this. Well, that's it. Third class intelligence. So bad. I'm 10th class and I'm very bad. But some things you begin one. Yeah, when one gets older, one understands. Yes, Ajit Govinda. Ajay Govinda, the man of the sound. Yes, Ajay Govinda.
Thank you, Maharaj, for visiting us here. I had a small chat with Maharaj in between, and we are very much blessed to know that Maharaj is having a visa for next 10 years and he can come here and meet us.
It was all of your prayers, and also one man, desperate man, Jamashtami Prabhu, prayed so much got the visa.
Thank you for the nice discourse, Maharaj. Very inspiring to learn that, you know, even when you were struggling with your health, you were able to take the inspiration from the surroundings, just by looking at the tree and, you know, getting it and then preparing the whole seminar on that. That's really inspiring. My question is to the fourth point which you mentioned about the socializing. So often in the devotee community, we talk about that, you know, we should have the association of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. But in the material world, we have jobs and we are interacting with a lot of other people. Oftentimes, you know, people either take socializing incorrectly, that okay, we don't have to talk to those people, you know, just be away, just, you know, talk about work and then no other interaction. On the other hand, some people do that. You know, okay, there's no harm in doing it. So how do we take that? Because, you know, when you are associated with the people who are not into the Krishna conscious movement, then you are exposing yourself to a different world. At the same time, you have to maintain the balance, you know, for the socializing. So how do we do that?
Mm-hmm. How do we take care of our relationships in this world? Well, there are obviously different types of relationships. Relationship to friends, to family, to relatives, but I think you were concerned with the relationship to outsiders. When we hear the instruction that we should not associate with non-devotees, we need to really think what does this do, what does this mean, and what it means is we should not become influenced by them, but we should influence them ourselves by giving some input. And I had an example on the flight just now. Before me, the seat before me was occupied by a rather strong, able-bodied man, and he saw a video and a film, and it was just, you know, you don't want to see the Kami movies, but then you look for a moment, and it was one of these brutal things. I remember some people were kneeling down and their heads were chopped off, and then there was war, and one soldier was shot and was bleeding into the camera. I mean, tomato juice and all that. But really, the brutal thing, like you would never, you can't imagine. So I thought, oh my God, this man is getting ready for. I mean, I really thought, what type of man can this be who looks at such a thing, you know, with sound and for. I only saw that for 30 seconds, but he must have seen for 1.5 hours or whatever the duration of such visual torture, you know. So then Gaurahari sat next to him because we needed some space. So he had next to the man was, there was one free seat and then another seat. So there was the man, free seat, and then Gaurahari, and he chanted. And I noticed the man was always looking. You know, just, I was looking sometimes, wow, this brutal thing, you know. And he was seeing, wow, the devotee, you know. He was seeing, like, this, you know. I don't know how long the work. I mean, I became absorbed in my work. I had some editing work, and at one stage, boop, I was fully in there. So the next thing I know is the man's talks with Gaurahari. Now, there could be two scenarios. One is he talks to Gaurahari, I saw this brutal movie. Why don't you also see the brutal movie? And Gaurahari would say, let me show, what brutal movie was it? Okay, the title, I Want to Kill You, okay. Becoming influenced. But it was going in the other way. Gaurahari was talking about spiritual things, singing the same name of the God, of the Lord is so good. And the man was becoming soft like a child, and he tried to understand because Gaurahari's English has a very sweet twist. Our French language is fully present in this English, you know, and the man was really straining and really giving his best to understand the concepts. And now he was influencing, going from the devotee to the non-devotee. In ways he could understand. I think if Gaurahari would have spoken in ways he could not understand, like too high concepts, then it wouldn't have been a pleasant conversation. In the in the end, he was just very, very friendly, isn't it? Surprisingly friendly. I was really friendly, opening his heart, and you know, and saying, my neighbor also, he walked away with a garland, you know, and his friends celebrated him, you know, Russian friends, you know. You have to, the influence can go two ways. So we are warned against picking up the influence of the materialists, and we are encouraged to give mercy to the, in the spirit of compassion, to the materialists. We are encouraged like this. Then we call it preaching. The other way, when the influence comes in the other way, then we call it fall down. When the influence goes from us, then we call it elevating. So that is better.
Thank you.
Good, my dear devotees. I'm a little worried of the time. We will have just 5 minutes pause. Is it good, Aditi? Alright.
Yes.
And then we will sing a little bit, and then we will say good night. But I hope to see all of you tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Hare Krishna, Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna. So let's loudly thank His Holiness Satyanarayana Swami Maharaj for the wonderful character. Thank you so much, Maharaj. We are all eagerly looking forward to tomorrow evening's presentation. So as Maharaj mentioned, 6 p.m. same time, same location, Vilmikan Temple.
Homework.
And yes, so Maharaj reminded, please do not forget your homework. Maharaj is going to give marks tomorrow to everyone based on their homework.
No notes from the parents.
Okay. So as Maharaj said, you could stand up, you know, stretch a little bit, and so Maharaj will be sitting in front of the altar for the kirtan, so we can reorient ourselves for the kirtan. Hare Krishna. And also after kirtan, there will be prasadam downstairs. So before leaving, please honor Mahaprasadam. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.